Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah to your name. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'm starting a new series, and he always starts a series before I end the next one. But I never see it in totality until he starts working on me. And many times when he shows it to me, my response is, Lord, I don't know how to preach that. Lord, that's too big. Lord, I'm grappling with what you are showing me. So how do I break this down so that we can see it piece by piece, a little bit by little bit, line by line? It's amazing to me that when I finished one series, I said, that's it. That's the best series I ever preach. I can't get any bigger than that. God said, you haven't seen nothing yet. And then he for what, by his grace, he blows my mind again. I stand here before you, and I want you to know my mind is blown. I definitely, and I always know that I bring nothing to the table, that I need God's help in preaching, to make clear, to put into words what he has shown me. The theme of this series, living a life of faith, watch this, that God blesses. Because the truth of the matter is, we all live a life of faith rather than faith on ourselves. When you sat down on that bench, you had the faith to believe it could hold your weight, or you wouldn't have sat down. We use faith in everything. We non-believers have a faith that what they believe is right. That's why I had to ask, well, what is it that God blesses? How can we walk in what God has us to walk in? God is trying to navigate our lives that, what's this, that we live the best life that we was meant to live. Not, you know, this fashionable thing about living my best life. Would God say that? Not too long ago, somebody said to me, he said, you see the whole picture, don't you? He said, you see it from Genesis to Revelation. You see the survey of what God says he's doing. I see the survey. I'm still putting in the details, but I see the story. Because of the study, because of God's grace, because I'm seeking his heart, I see it from Genesis, the start to the end, And the parts that are being played in between. And the truth of the matter is, until we grapple with that, life doesn't make sense. We really don't know what our lives is about. So we just living our lives. Nah, 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 nah. And don't understand that there is a spiritual application in everything we do. And without God ordering our steps, hold on, take that back. Without us allowing God, seeking God, trusting God, putting our faith in God, we will miss out on the best life that God has already determined for us to live. If we sit in anger at him as though he's done something wrong and that is his fault, when all he asks us to do is trust him when we don't understand. How can I say this? Look, I'm going to mess you up right now. Can't mess me up. Your life is not your own to do whatever you want to do with it. It was never intended for that. If that's the way you live in, you're deceived. Told y'all. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Help. Read with me. Let's start in Genesis. I really didn't mean to start in Genesis, but I got to start at the beginning. Have I pricked your curiosity? Out of the Amplified, it reads, and God said, and God made the wild beast. See, do I want to start at 1? No. Take me to 26. Take me to 26. And God said, let us, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, is one God as a triune God who has three personalities. And somebody said, I don't understand that. The analogy I used to use is an egg, that there's a shell, there's a yolk, but I got a better one. You are a spirit that has a soul that's in a body. And there's only one you. God made us after himself. So there's a triune sort of us, but it don't compare to the triune of God. Made mankind. Let us, this is them in communication. They get together, and whenever you hear the counsel of God, the angels have nothing to do with this. This is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. Let them have complete authority under the fish of the sea, the birds of the air. Let them tame the birds, the beasts over the earth and over everything that creepeth upon the earth. So God, listen, this is Genesis 1. So God created man, created his spirit. He makes his body out of the earth. He creates his spirit. You are a spiritual being that has a soul that's in the body. And if you're not walking in the spirit, you have no clue who you are. He created his spirit in his own image, and in the image and likeness of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. To my lady, you are not less than, you different than. Sit down. Someone should have told me y'all was standing. I didn't. Ministers, when I start doing that, let me know. Yo, you turn around and say, sit down. He gone. He don't know what he's doing. When in the Old Testament, the male is the right side of God's portrait, and the woman is the left side of God's portrait. God is too big to be put into a box. The greatest of expression is when you put both together. And you have the full expression. You can't put God in a category. But for us, it's dumbed down so we understand. How can I say this? Turn to your neighbor and say, you are the crown jewel of God's creation. You don't understand it. We don't fully see it. But there's nothing he made higher than us. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. We don't understand it. We haven't tapped into it. You gotta understand. You gotta understand. When God is doing this, when he's saying this, the angels are standing back saying, they are what? The devil's standing back and his fallen angels saying, you doing what? Because they're not made in his image. Everything has a coloration and reflection of who he is, but not created in his image. He stopped all creation in his creation, and he said, let us make them. And I'm going to put in them what I did not put in anything else, that they have the ability to reflect and refract me and relate to me, because I just want to share myself. I'm just so blessed and so good. I want to make children that will forever learn and share with me. Let me stop right there. If that is the truth, and it is, how's your faith walk? If that's the number one thing God had in mind when he made us, not relationship with us, not relationship with the creation that he made for us, but himself. Not religion, but himself. Eden, which is called pleasure. That's what the Garden of Eden called pleasure. It many things he was a lifted up high place where heaven and earth met. I don't know how God did it, but he manifested himself in a way where he came down to them and watched this and walked with them and taught them. I caught something this week, and I read it 100 times. I never notice. It's when Jesus is walking and a centurion that was a Roman soldier. He was over 100 soldiers. One of his servants was sick, and he sent servants to Jesus, and he said, "Will you come heal my servant? They are in tremendous pain." Jesus is on his way. Then he sent other ones. He said, "I'm not worthy for you to come in my house." Now let me catch this. I don't think I gave him this scripture. He says this. He says, "I am under authority." Dude, hold on, you didn't hear that. He didn't say, "I have authority." He said, "I'm under authority." And he says, "I know that me being under authority, I know I have authority to command people to come and go because I've been blessed, I've been positioned, I've been authorized under authority." He said, "Jesus, I know you can speak because you are under authority." So y'all, somebody didn't catch that. Somebody caught that. He said, and Jesus was amazed and said, "I've never seen so much faith." This is what he was saying. Jesus never did anything as God as far as power or manifestation, because he came as a servant to show us what we should be under authority. Now, I didn't get too many claps. Too many people didn't get that. He originally made Adam and Eve, watch this, under authority. He gave them a dominion and authority as long as they was under authority. As long as they was under him, obedient to him, walking with him. Adam, you name the animals. Adam, I'm going to raise them up in front of you. You tell me what you're going to call it, and whatever you call it is going to be called, because I got you under my authority, and as long as you are under my authority, I give you authority. Somebody need to say, "Shut your mouth. Shut your mouth." Adam, tell the lion to sit down, and it will sit down. And we running around trying to have authority in ourselves. Trying to control life. And the thing is, when you are under the power of the Holy Spirit, you have to try to be nothing. It's already there. The Lord is guiding you. He, step by step, and he'll allow you to step in a situation. And when you step in, the atmosphere shifts. Because in Jesus, you are under we're trying to claim what they had without being under his authority. Our power is in our submission. Our authority is in our humility. Our power comes from knowing you are nothing, you have nothing, you can do nothing without Christ. You know what our biggest problem is? We think we something. If I said after church, we're going to have a foot washing service, it'd probably be nobody here. Otis is taking off his shoes. Wash my feet. in this service, in this school, we was talking about worship, and this class, we literally washed each other's feet. And I had no problem washing the other person's foot. You know what I had a problem with? Don't wash my feet. Both of them was a element of pride. When did we get so big? When did we become so much? The sin of Adam and Eve in Genesis 3 is that they said, we don't need you. We got this. Dr. Smith, I said this before, but I'll say it again. He said, man, I'm doing an article. I'm asking three people, what is it that you have learned from the time you began the ministry to the time now? I said, when I began, I thought I was capable. And now I know I'm not. In no way. Not smart enough, not don't know enough, not. And it keeps me at the feet of Jesus. When we have been broken to the point that with that which you thought you had as strength, but life situation has brought you to the point that you come to the place where you know you're weak, and for everything you do, you know you need Jesus. You begin to understand at least a little bit what it means about being under authority. I hate to say it, but I gotta say that some of us need a good breaking. If not all of us. Now, it don't feel good, but the best thing that ever is happening to me is that I'm beginning to realize how much I need him in everything, for everything, through everything, that the power of God has been made available to those who know. Y'all didn't hear that. Who know you need it. And many times God, all the time. Because what Satan did was he put this I-ism. It's a disease of the soul. And there's no medicine for it. Chemo don't get rid of it. Tylenol don't get rid of it. It's an I-ism that we have made this life about us. God is an attachment. He's on my shoulder. I call him when I need him. But until then, I got this. And God is saying, I never made you to live life that way. The Bible don't say this, but I say this. You know that incident that happened in the garden? That incident when the serpent showed up? Did you know that was a coup? Do anybody know what a coup is? A coup is when a group of people have made up their mind that they don't like the authority that's in control, So they come up against the established authority to make their own government with their own authority. Y'all don't believe me. Revelation 12, beginning in verse 7. Watch this. I want to read through this. It says, then the woman fled into the wilderness, which she placed under, six, prepared by God, and she and fed there for 1,260 days. That's right. And a war broke out in heaven. Theologians got two thoughts. Either this is what happened before man, or this was another revolt that happened somewhere within time. This either happened before time or within time. This is what we know. That even before time, whether this is describing that, or there was another revolt that took place. Read what it says. And war broke out. Hold on. This is before us. And Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. You know who the dragon is? Satan. Used to be Lucifer. Was a beautiful angel. He got caught up in himself. Apparently used to be musical. He used to probably run the choir. He was a bad... Shut your mouth. You know what the problem was? He thought he was a bad shot. Whenever we don't give praise to God for all that we can do, all our abilities, and recognize it all comes from Him, whenever we think we can do anything that He has given us, outside of Him, we are part of that coup. Told y'all this was going to be deep. Pastor, and the dragon and his angels, went. Somebody said, I didn't know Satan had angels. Well, they wasn't his angels. But it says that he took his tail and he pulled away one third of God's angels. And when they left their proper position, angels became demons. It's a dangerous thing to move out of proper alignment. It's a dangerous thing not to submit yourself to the Lord. Listen, we are under influence one way or another. Listen, you talking to somebody that I understand being under the influence of the other side. You talking to somebody, I'm not just up here spout out what I read. I know what I know from my experience that relates to the Bible. So when the Bible talks about this stuff, I say, that is what that was. The problem is this. All of us is in this thing. We just don't know we're in it. Our attitude, our perspective, what we think. Alignment, but sometimes we on one side, the devil's side, and that side. In church, we on God's side of hope. Then as soon as we leave church, we're going to do what we want to do, the way we want to do it, however we want to do it, and we think we're good because we came to church. Really? Is that how small you see this? This is kingdom stuff. This is spiritual warfare. This is bad. battle, and God is causing his children to rise up. To rise up and be who you are to be. We settle for the crumbs Satan gives us when God says, when you are up under my authority, I will teach you. I will teach you. I will empower you. I will show you. But you got to trust me when you don't understand me. Our biggest problem is in here. Watch this. When our perspective is right, it doesn't matter what Satan throws at us because we know who we are. We know whose we are. And Satan will set up fires around us, but with tenacity, with perseverance, you can still keep your eyes on Jesus and know that if he brought you to it, he will take you through it and take you out of it sooner or later. Brother Job, come here. Did you know what was going on? I didn't know a thing. What did you know, Brother Joe? I know that God been good to me. I know I spent time praying and meditating, and I got to know the character of God. And I knew that everything I had, he gave it to me. I knew that he loved me, whether I understood it or not. So as I was going through this, I knew that God didn't do it. And if he did it for a reason. So I kept my eyes on him. Well, Brother Joe, what did you do? Since naked I came in the world, naked I was going to go out. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm amazed. I'm amazed at folks that's in the midst of, but their faith has risen up. Talking to Bobby Smith while he was going through another treatment, Dr. Smith handed me the phone, and Bobby started saying this. He started saying, he said, Pastor, I was built for this. Wait a minute, Bobby, this is about the 3rd, 4th, 5th time that you've been through this, and they were saying you was healed the last time, and now you're going through another session that they don't think you're going to make it through this. He said, I was built by God for this. Doctors are being saved. It's not about my situation. It's about God in me. We had a male chorus, Dale and them sang. Our male chorus sang with another male chorus. And it's a young man who knew my father, grew up with my father. They called my father Dimp because he had dimples. He calls me Dimp, little Dimp. Last year, he was walking. This year, he was in a wheelchair with the inability to use his legs. And he is still singing praises to God. Amen. So I asked him, I said, what happened? This is what he said. God trusted me. Hold on. Now I'm going to decipher that in a minute. He said, God trusted me with this. He didn't have to say no more because I understood what he was saying. He was saying, God knew that I would still be a witness. I mean, you want to talk about joy? You want to talk about somebody was singing with such vigor? See, we count blessings that we get things on the outside. When God is saying, I want you to see me on the inside. I want to lift you above your circumstance. I want you to quit complaining about what happened eons ago. And if you let me, I'll show you what I can bring out of that. Isaiah 61, somewhere around verse 5 or 6 says this. He said, we are the planting of the Lord, which means God said, I planted you right where I wanted you for my glory. And if you trust me, I will make you an oak tree of faith. Oh, did you hear that? It's not about what we go through. It's how we go through it. It's how we go through it. Some of us haven't caught the picture yet. Satan is trying to make us complain, make us talk about God. He's trying to spoil us in our attitude where people would say, if being a Christian and you're that nasty, I don't want to be like you. Hold on. I got to go here. Some of our children won't come to church because they didn't see Christ in us in their growing up. And we wondering what's wrong with them. They're wondering what's wrong with us. God said, I Charles Stanley, he was, oh, I know I gotta wrap this up. Charles Stanley, I saw a commercial. He passed now. But they showed a commercial and he had to be already in his late 80s or 90s. And he said this. He said, just trust God and be obedient, and he will bless you. But let me add this. In trusting God, he don't tell you, you got to go through this. In trusting God, he don't tell you, you got to go through that. And trusting God, he don't tell you the devil coming at you. And trusting God, he don't tell you you're going to go through some type of Job situation. And we got to know that because we're in battle. You know, I was asked a question not too long ago. Why does it seem like people who not living for God, everything going okay for them? Look at that. I see hands shaking. I see, look at y'all. You know what the psalmist says? It says, do not fret evildoers. If I got a tissy pop and I want to kill you, I'm not going to put the cyanide in the pop. I'm going to put it in the tissue. Y'all didn't get that. Okay, let me go back. Okay. A tissue pop is a hard, delicious candy on the outside. And you got to lick it down to the chewy, tissue. Whatever. The chewy on the inside. Oh, I know why I said it. So I'm not going to put the poison on the outside. I'm going to wait until you are enjoying. I'm going to put it where I got you hooked. I'm going to do it till you all in this thing. I'm going to do it until there's no turning back. I'm going to wait until it really seems like it's good. Feel good, taste good, sound good. I mean, all the good there, all the good. That is talking to your flesh. But once you get to the poison, Eskimos, okay, 10 minutes. Eskimos, wolves are smart. You try to poison them, they smell the poison. You try to set traps, they smell that you have been there. But the one thing is the wolf's weakness is blood. So they would take their sharpest knife, cut open a seal or something with me, and they would coat the knife until it's a popsicle of blood. You make sure it's coated with layer and layer of what it likes. Then you take the butt of it, put it down in the snow. And wait till it's night. The wolf comes and he circles it. Tastes like, smell like blood. A wolf's sense of smell is like 10 times stronger than a bloodhound. Incredible. He licks it. It tastes like blood. He sniffs it up and down. And everything around said, it's okay. Then he starts licking. He starts by the time, without him even knowing it, the blood he is enjoying is his own. You know why Satan hates us so much? Because he's trying to erase the image of God off of you. He has already lost the battle with God. So he's coming after the very thing that God loves the most and that God prizes the most, that is made in his image. You are in this battle whether you know it or not. And the truth of the matter is, the Word of God is trying to navigate us to safety and all the time trying to make us become the Christ in us, those that have accepted Christ, so that the world may see that our God is real. And watch it. Faith has to be worked out through the waiting. We in the struggles, you fall in love with him. In the tears, you realize he's faithful. When you're willing to wait when you don't understand, When you're willing to look up when everything is going down. When you're willing to say, Lord, I trust you in my living and my dying. Because the reality is, all I got is you anyway. He says, taste and see. Taste me. You got to open up your mouth. If we got an apple pie here, you don't know how good it is until you try it. I'm telling somebody, you ought to try Jesus. You ought to trust Jesus. He's the best thing that could ever happen to you. Let me say, he has never been found failing. He's been found not tested. Not tried. We are so easily distracted by our own desires. And the Lord is reaching out. He says this to Jeremiah, then I'm done. He says to Israel, he says that heaven is amazed. He says the heavens are appalled. That you left me, the living fountain, and went to wells that doesn't even have any water. He says, the angels around me are saying, what's wrong with them? All creation is saying, don't they see? That is the battle we are in. Nobody escapes it. You was born into it. And if we will allow the Word of God in this series, our whole perspective of what we think this is will be changed. But it starts with knowing Jesus, not church. The devil's in church. He comes sit right by you and talk all during the service. Somebody in here didn't hear a word I said because somebody else was in your ear. Somebody in here, you too busy looking at somebody else and you just don't know. That message was for you. He played games. I pray you are listening. I think you need to go back and listen and hear it again so that you can enter in as we take another step forward. Do you need prayer today? There is wonder-working power in the name of Jesus. And if you have the faith to come up and the Holy Spirit is leading you to come up, I got ministers over here that will show you the way of salvation if you're not sure. And I know what somebody said, I'm a good person. You don't get in heaven because you're a good person. You get in heaven because you're covered by the blood of Jesus. Because he paid the price for all of us. But you got to accept it. They are here. If you just say, I don't know what's going on in my life. I just don't like the way my life is. Where is Jesus? Where is God? Come on up so we can pray with you. Let us stand, and as we stand, because we are family, because we are in this together, touch somebody's hand, and as we pray, we all pray. Brother Randy says, this is going to be the last time us hearing your voice for as you and your wife are being sent to a ministry to help Pastor Steve Talbert, which is a powerful pastor and a friend of mine. Man, would you come and lead us to the throne of grace?
Father God, right now we come before you as humble as we know.